All righty. This is the 4th of July celebration, although it's only the 2nd. And we honor our country, but we honor God. We ask God to bless our country. So this may be a secular holiday for many. It's not a secular holiday for us. We want God to bless us, and we want to be a godly country. So keep that in mind. Now, if you're visiting with us this morning, I don't know that I see anybody I don't recognize, but if I'm wrong, if I've got visitors, we've got visitors here that have not been here before, we ask you, let us know about yourselves. There's a pouch in the front chair in front of you. It's got an envelope and a form in it and a pen. Please fill that out. Let us know a little bit about yourselves. Put it in the basket on the way out this morning, the door basket to the right of the door on the way out, and we'd sure love to know a little bit about you. So keep that in mind, and please accommodate. Oh, yes, definitely. Yes. Please, yes. Yeah, they got you blocked off, don't they? There you go.
There we go. Yes. Okay, there we go. I've got a lot this morning for you. The church received a letter from Amanda Castle. I think her children have gone to Grace Camp, Grace Farm, several years now. They were there this past week with quite a few more, And Amanda has written a letter I'd like to read. Thank you for everyone who supported the kids' trip to camp. There were some challenges, but our God is good, watches over us, and answers prayers. It was really nice to hear the kids chattering about camp on the way home. I believe they had a really nice time. When talking with Axel's mom and telling her I was glad he got to come along, she said, "Me too. I'm glad he," in other words, "I'm glad he got to come along. He had a great time and was ministered to in a way he understood, and it's brought him closer to God." Then Amanda goes on to finish, "This alone is worth any difficulties we had. Thank you again for all your prayers and support." As you may know, their difficulties involved mechanical failure with the vehicle, so there was some downtime on that, dealing with that. Thank you, Amanda, if you can hear, if you're listening from afar. Also in your bulletin you can see the announcements. Prayer meeting every Sunday morning in the, if you're a visitor, we have a room back here off the side of the stage that leads to a gathering place where we hold prayer Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, but right before Sunday school. And the women's Bible study takes place next Tuesday, not this Tuesday, not taking off for the 4th of July, at 6:30 in the same room, just to the right of the stage here, through the door. Wednesday night service takes place in this sanctuary. Of course, it's 6 o'clock. Everybody's welcome, of course, there. Men's prayer group is always the first Friday at 8 o'clock in the morning. It happens at the Red Dome in Quitman. It's a men's prayer group. And then, of course, we have a gigantic thank you for the Bible Day Camp participants and the staff. Six, as Stephanie said, six kiddos showed up and learned about the Lord Jesus. And as you can see, some of the layout that was part of all that, there were also two tents, as I recall, a tent in that corner and a tent in that corner. It was sort of a rotation between tents, as I understood it. We were not here. Needless to say, we had an event of our own. Terry and I, we celebrated our 50th anniversary. And with the greenhouses being down due to the power outage a few weeks ago, we opted to take a trip to northern Kentucky, where I was able to see the Hark encounter. And I'm telling you, that is quite an experience. If you've not been to the Ark, you need to go. It'll slap you in the face when you first see it. I'm serious. And then, of course, we spent 2 days there and then 2 days at Creation Museum. They were separated by about 20 or 30 miles. So you can motel up somewhere in between like we did and see them both, all of it in 4 days. It was wild. Quite informative. A lot of it we already knew, but still seeing it presented in such a manner, well, it was truly an experience. A ministry. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, this morning your people, we just gather in praise and in blessing and in worship of your holy name. Lord, we lift you in songs of praise and worshipful hymns. And now our hearts and minds are, pray that our hearts and minds are turned heavenward. Lord, this is a special season for your Lake Country family. Our young people have returned safely from camp, having experienced an intense focus on just who you are and that you are to be found in your written word, where you are learned of, and that we each can call upon your name, for For you are the God Most High, and we do this through prayer. Lord, we acknowledge that these kiddos could learn it. Not only could they do this with other campers, but they could do it within themselves. And we, Lord, we just pray that many were the discoveries that were new to them for their quiet times with you in that environment. Lord, we ask a special blessing for these young people as you reveal their pathways. Well, we each should remember the patience so needed and helpful for the life race that you even set before ourselves so long ago. Lord, we ask you to lift up our brother Freddie Coyle, in his ministry there at Grace Farm in Georgia. Lord, we pray for the surgeon's knowledge and skill and care as they determine how to proceed with this affliction that Brady has. Lord, we pray for Freddie's family. And we just ask your comfort and your ministry to them. Time of trial. Lord, we're selfish, but we want Freddie to continue. We want Freddie's fellowship and ministry. It is your call, Lord. It's in your hands. We know he knows that. We just thank you for his faithfulness to you and his ministry. Lord, we offer a special thanks for the youngest among us that you blessed with your faithful servants these last few mornings this week. And blessings yet unknown, we pray for them and for all who served you so faithfully. Lord, we pray that the seed has been sown and possibly even some seed has germinated already and is growing in the light of your holy word. We pray that it be so, and ministered especially by your Spirit and truth as you have promised. Lord, we just ask that going forward. Lord, now as we return to the reading and study and hearing of your word with Pastor Mike's preparation, we ask that you give us receptive spirits within which your message will bear its intended fruit in the season of your choosing. Lord, we pray for your church, worldwide your church, to be all that you intended, and especially here at Lake Country. Lord, we pray that we continue to deeply seek your face, your strength, our place in service of you, our confidence in you, in whose hands we are held. For you have promised, and you have also said, upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe we're in the book of 3 John. Third epistle of John. Short epistles. We will be reading the entire 14 verses. 3 John, verse 1. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. Beloved, do you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers. who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. Because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers in the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil is not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all, and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness. You know that our testimony is true. I have many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly. We shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Terry. Posey. Where'd Terry go? Terry comes. Terry, I believe you would like to say a few words this morning. I don't know. I'll feel your pulse if you want me to.
Hey, guys. We're celebrating something that's coming up on Tuesday called the 4th of July. Okay. It's something that a lot of people take for granted. You know, I like studying history. And you know, you look back on the Revolution, and there was a lot of people that were killed during the Revolution, were there not? The battles were vicious and everything. But if you look at the really historians, they say that the Revolution, the American Revolution, they considered it a bloodless revolution. But that's not saying that blood was not spilt. But in comparison to other revolutions that were made in that era, you compare it to the French Revolution, compare it to the Russian Revolution that went on at that particular time or a little after, compare it to the Chinese Revolution, the amount of people that lost their lives and the blood that was shed during the American Revolution was minute compared to the amount. If you read the letters of our founders. I'm not saying all of our founders were Christians, but they had a respect for the gospel, they had a respect for Christianity. Look at our founding documents. Who can look at the founding documents and not see the Lord, the Bible influence into our documents? And we as a country have moved away from that. Individuals, maybe not so much, but as a country, we see ourselves moving away from God. God institutes all governments. For good or bad, He puts them in place. The Bible says that. If the Bible says it, it must be true, because we believe what it says. It's our guiding principles. So God has put this country in place. God has held it up. And I'm a firm believer that God allowed us to come into being, to be this bright, shining city on the hill. And we have let it go as a country. We talked this morning about standing up against the powers that are in the air, the stuff you can't see, putting on the full armor of God. And that's something we need to stand up for in our country. as we walk through, if we take and we allow God to be taken out of our country, then our country will be able to be nothing. God is what sustains it. God has always sustained it. We need to teach our children that as we go through this. So as we go into the 4th of July, enjoy it. Enjoy it and enjoy the hot dogs and the fireworks and everything that it comes, because there are men and women that have bought and paid the price to allow you to do that. Okay? But remember that there's an obligation that comes along with being an American, just like there's an obligation that comes along with being a Christian. You're told to go out and fight for what we believe in, right? We're told to go out and be ambassadors for Christ. And we should do the same thing for our country, because God put this country in place. God put this country in place. And if we let it slip, if we let it slip to him, it will go. Can God change things? Can God change things through one person, through one family, through one church, through one word, one deed? God can do it all. So we need to be praying for our country. Enjoy the 4th of July. Remember the price that was paid for our salvation. We'll remember that in a little bit. But remember the price that was paid, that God allowed this country to happen, the freest country in the world. And don't let anybody, you youngsters, come up and say to you that this is not the greatest country in the world.
All right. Good job, Terry. Appreciate it. Stephanie, how many tents did we have in our auditorium? All right, we had 6 tents in this auditorium. Needless to say, our chairs were non-existent. We sat on the floor. Some sat on the floor. We have, I want to share some things with you this morning, and speaking time is getting short. But sometimes we need to do some of the things we're doing this morning. We have had a week of fun, Bible study, memorization of Scripture. Crafts. We had some people here. We had not a big number of kids. We're going to say 6 kids. Folks, that's a start. We haven't had vacation Bible school here that I can remember in this church. And we've been going here, my wife and I, and our family has been going here. I believe I counted up last time. Over 30 years, or right at 30 years. We had kids sitting on the floor. We had adults sitting on the floor. We had some adults who were real show-offs. They didn't have to get down on their hands and knees in order to sit on the floor. They just sat. And they didn't have to turn over and get situated where they could get up off the floor. They just stood up where they sat. No hands. I hate people. But we had a great week. We had focus on these 6 kids that were here. We had 16 adults having more fun than kids. The kids were. Just a great time. We had, I believe, a Gene. Did I lose Gene? She left, didn't she? Gene furnished and I'm sure others helped, but Gene furnished treats and snacks for the kids. Did she not every day? And Lisa, I'm going to miss some people. I'm going to leave some people off. But Lisa pitched in, just did a marvelous job. Rosie, she is a great teacher, a great teacher. I sat and listened amazed how she came in and filled that role in such a tremendous way. The kids listened. We didn't have one child that was a troublemaker. Maybe an adult or two, but not a child. It's great. I firmly believe that our church is on the verge of really expanding. God has laid on my heart and the hearts of others. We need to be involved with the youth in our community. How that's going to shape out and turn out, I don't know. But we had last week Bible Day Camp, or Day Bible Camp. We had the week before, we had kids go some 14 hours away from home, up into northern Georgia to the foothill and the foothills of the mountains there to Grace Farm, and were ministered to there. We don't have all of them here this morning, but we've got two. Y'all want to come on up here with me, please, with sugar on it. I think that's from me twisting her arm and get up here. Did y'all have a good time at Grace Farm? Didn't hear him. He said, definitely. Did you have a good time? You always have fun at Grace Farm. Did you learn? Were you motivated? And as I understand it, there were about 80 total folks that were there. And our van that we rented went all the way up there, dropped these characters off, then broke down. We had leaders that were in Elberton, that's correct, and some in Athens. Both of them without transportation. Young lady that had to go to see a doctor in Athens, and Joey, Jane, we appreciate so much you lending us Joey for that week. Joey had the task of getting these kids up there. We had how many? Eight. Then two, a driver and a relief driver. We had 10 folks. These kids were a blessing in being there, in what I hear from Freddie and his group. Thank you all for going, being such a testimony for our church. Thank you. You may be seated now. Go right ahead. Like I said, Joey went, took off work, and drove the van. A word or two. This is difficult. About 30 days before Camp Grace, Freddie had an incident there at Grace Farm where he was doing some maintenance work on his tractor for some of the activities that would be taking place there at Grace Farm. And he passed out under the tractor. The tractor wasn't running, but he passed out under the tractor. And his son happened to be with him, and so he called the ambulance after not being able to get Freddie to become conscious enough to make any common sense as far as what he was saying. Freddie was taken by ambulance to the hospital, and all kinds of tests were run. And it was, now, just prior to junior camp, which we had, oh, by the way, I forgot, Lisa, the lady right there, drove and took a child to junior camp. Now, I understand you had as good a time as your niece. And Freddie gave me a recap of junior camp, and that was seems to be just a tremendous success too. But this was just prior to camping season, which is the busiest time of the year. And when Freddie had this incident, he went to the doctor, went to the hospital. They ran some MRIs and gave him a monitor for 30 days where he could not drive. And he had to wear this monitor. And at the end of those 30 days, which was the Monday of early Monday of Camp Grace, he went to the doctor and had another MRI done. And in this MRI, they discovered a mass on his brain. What did Freddie do? He did what Freddie would do, and he fulfilled his obligation, Camp Grace, and was there and spoke, and I think was just a tremendous influence on the kids that were there. You've got to understand, Freddie is family. In talking with Freddie as to what his prognosis is, Freddie is very reluctant to speak about himself. However, he said that he has, there's a team of doctors that are deeply investigating the possibilities that they have as far as this mass is concerned. When I asked him if the mass was cancerous or benign, he said, we don't know. I said, are they going to do a biopsy? He said, no. He said, that's not a healing process, or it doesn't lend itself to healing. What it does do is it lends itself to learning more about how to treat brain tumors. So I said, when is surgery? He said, Mike, if I knew, I'd tell you. He said, I just don't know. He said, all the doctors that, and he says, on our team, he says, all the doctors on our team are going through very intently, very precisely, through everything that they have learned through the tests that he has had so far, trying to determine the best process in caring for him. That is all the information I have to give you, with the exception that I would encourage you to go to YouTube and look up Freddie Coyle, and I believe it's his latest message on YouTube, on a tremendous, tremendous message entitled, The Battle is the Lord's. So if you would continue to pray for Freddie. Freddie has a lovely wife. He has one son who has graduated college and married and is currently in the state of Virginia working for a university there. His wife, Danita, who is from South Africa, She's finishing up her schooling there and needs to finish this degree program that she's on in order to be able to stay here in the United States. So she is working on that degree. I don't think his return home, Josiah's return home, is going to be any time before her degree is finished. Then he has another daughter who is a graduate of Pensacola Christian College, and she is back at home, and she is now living in Georgia with her mother and dad and brother and sister. And then there's Benjamin, and then they have one little girl who's not so little anymore, but I think of her as being little, Bethany Faith. Pray for them. Pray for them all. Freddie covets your prayers. He's thankful for your prayers. I would be too. So if you would do that for me, that would be great. For Freddie would be great, and for his family would be great. Freddie had just recently led the church that he was pastoring, quote-unquote pastoring, he was speaking at, for the last 3.5 years in order to keep the doors from closing. The church has experienced some growth, just as ours is experiencing growth. And recently, he led the church in reforming their constitution and bylaws by which they operate, and they have elected a board of elders, and they have elected, with Freddie's encouragement, elected a what is called a pastoral elder. He is an elder who does preaching. He has been there in that church for a long time with Freddie, and is well qualified to pastor that church. Thankful to the Lord that that burden just was relieved from Freddie's shoulders about a month prior to Freddie's incident there at Grace Farm. So those are all good things as far as Freddie's situation is concerned. Pressures are off quite a bit, and now he can focus on the things that need to be done to restore his health. The greatest thing that we can do, Freddie and his family, pray for him. We need to, if you're an individual who is giving to Freddie's ministry just on your own, I would encourage you to continue that. He lives strictly by faith. He lives by those people who believe in his ministry and believe in his message. He is living off, and he did not ask me to say this, that is their income, gifts that you send and other people send. Our church is giving to Freddie, and we will continue to do that. But if you have interest in beginning to give to Freddie, if you don't already give to him, I'll be glad to give you the information, the address to send your gifts. As far as anything more, I don't have any detailed information to share with you. I wish I did. I don't. Freddie is very close to the vest as far as the information that he is revealing at this point in time. But I do know that he would really appreciate your prayers. Anybody have any questions about what I've shared this morning? All right, we have this morning is our Lord's Supper, which we will go ahead and conduct. We will have no preaching this morning because I know y'all want to have lunch sometime or other. So, if you would, Harry.
Am I coming through? Okay. There we go. I can hear myself now. The Lord's table. When I get to the Lord's table, I just try to determine what I should do. And I've been told that sometimes I go a little too long on what I think, and I give a second sermon, and I got people going. So but this morning, being that we've been through so many different things, we talked about the other thing, I'd like to tell a little bit about the Lord's table. What does it mean? So the question is, what is sin? What is sin? Well, I'll give you a definition. It says it is the chasm which separates us from the living God who loves us all and wishes all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of Him. It's that chasm. If you look at Mike up here, Mike has his little wallet thing, and it works real well. He has a thing with like tissue papers, and it works even better. I keep telling you, say, you need to get a box with going to run out of tissue papers. Then you have just the box there. You say, yeah, all the tissues, all those things are gone, but that's still in between y'all, isn't it? That's neat. Okay, so how do we get rid of this chasm that's developed between us and God? We can't do it upon our own, can we? No, because we're imperfect. So how do we get rid of this chasm? Well, the Lord years ago, before there was even anything thought of, He had this plan. Because He knew. Our God is all-knowing. He knows all stuff before anything ever happens, okay? God knows what you're going to do today, tomorrow, and the next day. He knows everything that's ever existed, and He knew it, and He planned this before, because He knew we were going to be a bunch of troublesome people. He knew that we were going to be sinful people, and we were going to need somebody to save us. So before anything ever, before He made the first thing out there, He had this plan, and He knew He was going to send His Son coming down a cross for us, His perfect Son. He was going to send Him and going to say, okay, you're going to go there, you're going to be a servant, and you're going to walk on law. You're going to walk for 33 years, and you're going to die on that cross, and you're going to be the sacrifice for all these people that can't sacrifice for themselves because they're not worthy of this sacrifice, because the sacrifice has to be perfect. Whenever you bring whenever the Jews in the law were told to bring a lamb to the slaughter, it had to be a no blemishes. It can't be missing an ear. It can't have a hangnail. Okay? It's got to be perfect. So now that time when Jesus paid the price for us on the cross, He paid to us for us to get to God. We do this, remember the sacrifice that was paid. Understand, folks? If you're a believer, you are welcome to participate. You don't have a closed communion or closed Lord's Supper. You're a believer, you are a member of the family of God, and I say howdy to every one of y'all. If you're not a believer, all you have to do, you can do that right there in your right now. You have to pray. You just have to simply believe God came 1,000 years ago. Jesus Christ came. He lived that perfect life. He died on that cross because of you. He rose on that third day, and now He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for all the things we are still doing wrong today. That gets you in the gate. Now you're a believer. That's all you have to do. So I'm going to ask Don and Leslie to come up and help me this morning with supper, if y'all don't mind, gentlemen. Now, with our Lord's Supper, we have these little packets. It has a little wafer on top. I call it styrofoam. But it's on top, and they're kind of hard to manipulate. But there'll be a little wafer on top, and then there'll be some juice underneath the sacrifice to indicate the sacraments.